Good evening, church. I hope you're doing well today. It's good to come to you with this opportunity this evening. Hope you've got your plants covered up. It's a little chilly spring as far as that goes this year, but we'll, just like everything else, we'll get through it. Again, it's good to be here. I hope we can share some scripture with you that will draw your interest, increase your desire to read and study God's Word, just to draw closer with Him through His Word. So I've got a few announcements I'd like to read, and then we'll try to get started into a little bit of a study this evening. As far as our praise reports, again, as always, and this one will never change, God is on the throne and in control. And if you'll ponder that, that is a blessing to know that He's not going anywhere. He is where He's at. And that's great comfort for the Christian. We're one day closer to the end of this season of sickness. April 24th still appears to be the peak of the reported cases. And everything has been gradually getting lower since, so that's good signs. And according to the timesnews.net, there were no new cases of the virus in Lee, Scott, Wise, or Norton in a week. There were 41 cases total at this time in four counties, two deaths reported. And according to WJHL.com, Channel 11, May 15th, we can have services at half capacity. And God willing, Thomas Village Baptist Church will be next Sunday, May 17th, and there will be a drive-in service at 11 a.m. that Sunday. Now, as far as prayer needs, the concerns we've got are the lost, of course, the backslidden. And take your time. Take time and actually pray for the lost. We can say that all we want, but if we're not trying to pray to God and to seek His move on those hearts, those folks have no hope. There's nothing but hell waiting for them in the lake of fire, and nobody needs to go there. Marriages, the depressed, the Lynn Hensley family, the Eddie McMillan family, Nathaniel Wells, Faye Hill, Jimmy Lane, Ruth Roten, Paul and Becky Hayes, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, Rhonda Smith, and Sister Priscilla, Peggy DeBoard, Moselle Carter, Ruth Bowen, Patty Prevett, Helen Bowen, Ruth Osborne, Hazel Stanley, Jeanette Carter, Peggy Stanley, Alma Bowen, Lottie Johnson, Jay and Ruby Keck, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Kent Smith, Liza Fletcher, Henrietta Roach, Bobby and June Jesse, Margaret and Chet Wheeler, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, Danny Smith, and Rufus Hurd. So let's remember those prayer requests. Keep them in your heart. Continue to pray for them. Let's also remember our president, our federal and state health and emergency workers. Let's remember the what appears to be the few Christian politicians we may still have in this country that may be in places of leadership and decision-making. And then on the other side, let's pray for all of those that are lost. They don't seem to care about the people. They don't vote with Christian moral values in their votes. And God can change their hearts too. Let's just pray for them. Pray for our nation as a whole. the coronavirus numbers as of 4:45 today, nationally, there was 1,300,000, 178,000 recoveries. You don't hear much about the recoveries, but there are recoveries. There were 77,727 deaths. In the state of Virginia, our numbers in Virginia are 22,342 cases and 812 deaths. So at this time, let's have a word of prayer before we go any further into our service. Almighty, gracious, and heavenly Father, we do thank you for this wonderful day you blessed us with. Father, each day is a privilege, each day is an opportunity you've given us to be your servant, to serve you, to spread the gospel across our land. So, Father, we thank you for all your blessings. Thank you most of all for Jesus, for his death, burial, and resurrection that made the gift of salvation possible for mankind. We thank you so much for that. It was a great price paid, a horrendous sacrifice made, but willingly Jesus laid down his life to pay our sin debt. He had no sin debt. He paid our sin debt. And for Jesus, we thank you for that. Father, we pray now for these many requests that have been made in your presence. Father, I know it's a continual petition to you, and we continue to seek your face and your move in this place. We pray, Father, for an awakening in our land, that people will, Father, we know you've allowed the COVID virus to come to this country, and you're in charge. And if this is what you use to judge our nation, so be it. But Father, may it bring many people to their knees to recognize Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And again, may there be a great awakening. And Father, we pray in your time, you will move this virus away from us. Now, Father, we pray for those souls that are sick and shut in this evening, those in the nursing homes and the surrounding areas. We pray that you give them comfort and peace, Father. This weather can be sort of depressing at times, and we just ask that you would brighten their day. And Father, for all these names we've requested, I pray for your peace and your comfort and for your understanding for each and every one. Now, Father, I pray as we look into your word, you would use me to bring honor and glory to you. Help me to speak your word clearly. And Father, I pray that people will again, have that desire to read and search your word and to draw closer to you through the studying of your word, your precious word that you've given us. Father, again, thank you and we praise you for all your blessings now. In Jesus' holy and wonderful name I ask, amen. Now, again, remember this Sunday, May 17th. In other words, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, we'll have a drive-in service again at 11 o'clock. Text your friends, call someone, let them know. Also, Monday and Friday, we'll continue the prayer and devotions, and that'll be on your Facebook. Time will be 6 p.m., of course. And then the Wednesday midweek service, our pastor brings a message, will be at 7 p.m. Continue to check out the Thomas Village Baptist Church Awana Facebook page. Plenty of updates and activity information there. Also, continue to be praying for Vacation Bible School. The plan is for June 22nd through the 25th. So let's keep that in prayer. It'd be nice to have Vacation Bible School this summer. A lot of the children have had to sort of quarantine in as well. They've missed seeing their friends, and this would be a great opportunity for them to get out, learn about Jesus, and still fellowship with their friends and loved ones. As always, if the deacon or pastor can help you with any situation that may have arisen in your life, in your day, don't hesitate to give us a call. If not, call the church, leave a message. We're here to try to help. So give us that opportunity. As our pastor always says, never forget, no one loves you like Jesus. No one has done so much for you as Jesus. And no one will do more for you today than Jesus Christ if you'll just let him. So let's stay focused on Jesus in our life. Now, as far as a bit of study, I'd like to look at some scriptures. I've got a few that I'll need to reference out and run to, because anybody can stand here and talk, but unless someone can give you chapter and verse, you really don't know. I was listening to a replay of Adrian Rogers on the radio about a week and a half ago, and he was talking about difference in people. And he was talking about sometimes you can go to a church and there'll be a real elegant preacher. He'll stand up and he can preach and uses the big words and really impresses you with his abilities. But as Adrian said, just because the river's muddy don't mean it's deep. You can get the point across with just plain language. And that's all we are, is just plain. We're just trying to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But if I give a title to the scriptures I'm looking at this evening, it would be, "What Are We Waiting On?" And I'm coming from, or starting with Luke 23, verses 50 and 51. And like I say, if you've got a pen and you want to keep up, I would suggest you get one, because I've got about 12 or 13 verses I want to run to. And if it'll help you, you can go to page 1445, 1393, 1357, and page 1484. We'll start there if you've got the right translation and the right Bible. But I'll give you chapter and verse. But I'm looking at Joseph of Arimathea. I was reading back during the Easter week, and there's some scriptures that just stood out to me, and God just showed me that I needed to study that and run that out, and that's what I tried to do, because there's references in here that I never understood. I never saw that before, but it says Joseph was waiting for the coming of the kingdom of God. And that's why I ask, what are we waiting on? What are we focused on? So anyway, let me start reading some verses to you. Luke 23, 50 and 51. Says, "Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision. Indeed, he was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God." Now let's go to Mark 15, verse 43. Verse 43 says, "Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus." And now let's go over to Matthew 27, verse 57. It says, "Now when the evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus." And that's the wonderful thing about the four Gospels. When you study in one, in most cases, there's another reference in one of the other Gospels. and it helps make a more complete picture when you study the whole layout that God has given us in His Word here. But now, just with these three scriptures here, let's just look at Joseph a minute. We understand Joseph was a Jew. He was a rich man. He was good and just. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. And he was from Arimathea. And that caught my attention. I look at Arimathea and I start running references. And I understand Arimathea was 20 miles northeast of Jerusalem. But if you go back in the Old Testament, Arimathea was also called Ramah in its day. And if you go to the book of Samuel, chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3, you find out that that's where Hannah was from. That's where Hannah lived, and that's where Samuel was born, was in Ramah. And it just amazes me how God uses the same places just over and over, but He builds on it all through the Bible. But if you'll read those first three verses, you'll find out that Ramah was the name of the place where Samuel was from, the prophet Samuel. Now, looking here at the Sanhedrin, again, a little information with the Sanhedrin. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the supreme court, if you will, of Israel, consisting of 71 members. And it was presided over by the high priest. And at the time of Christ, it was Cappius. And that's why, if you remember in the story of Jesus, before the crucifixion, they kept moving him back and forth from Pilate to the high priest. They held the court and they determined that Jesus needed to die. And they wanted Pilate to condemn him. And he was a political pawn here in that situation. But anyway, that's who the Sanhedrin, that was the part that they played in it. The Sanhedrin met daily in the temple to hold court, except on the Sabbath day and other holy days. Now, as of John chapter 18, verse 31, they did not have the power to administer capital punishment. In other words, they couldn't kill a man. They couldn't pass judgment on him and say, "We're going to sentence you to die." However, in the case of Stephen, you remember Stephen, this still didn't deter them from passing judgment of stoning. They said, we want you to be stoned. So they stoned Stephen, which led to his death. But they couldn't say, "We're going to sentence you to death by stoning," you see. Now, let me go with John 18:31. Let me read you that verse, because that is Pilate consulting with them at that time. It says, "Then Pilate said to them, 'You take him,'" referring to Jesus, "'says, you take him and judge him according to your law.' Therefore, the Jews said to him, 'It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death.'" They would love to have been able to pass judgment, but they didn't have the ability to do that as a court system here. Now, the thing that we understand here also is Joseph did not consent to their decision and deed in condemning Christ. Because, again, remember, Arimathea is 20 miles away from Jerusalem, and the council met in Jerusalem. Well, we know they had the whole court, the whole situation was illegal to their own law even. But they held court in the night, and more than likely, Joseph, a member of the Sanhedrin, would have probably been home. But it was a rush deal, and hotheads were in control at that time. But anyway, now to look at Joseph requesting the body of Jesus, we need to turn to Luke 23 again, in verses 52 and 54, which is right below where I read there to start with. But it says, Let me start with 52. It says, this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And also, if we go to John, we get an account in John 19, verses 38 through 42. And that gives a very good description. 38 and 42 says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Now we understand, Joseph asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate would not likely have been pleased to see a member of the Sanhedrin after that group had forced him to crucify an innocent man. Further, Joseph's public identification with Jesus would have enraged the other members of the Sanhedrin. Still, he asked for the body of Jesus. Though prisoners sentenced to death forfeited the right to burial under Roman law, their bodies were usually granted to the relatives who asked for them. But Jesus' mother, remember Mary at the cross, she was emotionally exhausted from the ordeal. There was no evidence that Jesus' brothers or sisters were in Jerusalem, and his close friends, the disciples, had fled, except for John, who had Mary. He was charged to take care of Jesus' mother. You'll find that in John 19, verses 26 and 27. So in the absence of all his close friends and relatives, or the closest ones to Jesus, Joseph courageously asked Pilate for Jesus' body. So you see some of the character of Joseph here of Arimathea. He went before Pilate, and you would know Pilate would be mad because he didn't want to have anything else to do with the Sanhedrin. They had forced him into a corner, made him publicly make a decision he didn't want to make. But he was stuck in the middle there, and he had to pass that. Plus, the Sanhedrin would have been insulted knowing that one of their own came to get the body of Jesus, showing that he, and it says he was a disciple of Jesus. So this man was bold. Joseph was a strong individual. He had character. He had integrity to him. He had to do what he did. Now, if you look in Mark 15, verse 45, Pilate, having received confirmation from the centurion that Jesus was dead, granted the body to Joseph. By that act, the Romans officially pronounced Jesus as dead. When they committed to give the body over, they're saying he's dead. He's not coming back. He's dead. So let me read you Mark 15, 45. Let me go back up to 44 to sort of put it together for you. It says, Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. So now he's given permission to take down the body. and to bury him. So now we see here Joseph and Nicodemus both being prominent Jews and leaders. But now Nicodemus, I don't think, was a part of the Sanhedrin. I could be wrong, but I don't want to put him in there if he doesn't belong there. But he and Joseph and Nicodemus took care of the body. They're the ones who prepared him and placed him in the tomb. Our Lord's burial fulfilled Isaiah 53, 9, and 12. Let me read that to you, because that is, this is prophecy of only 800 years old. Isaiah was written in 800 years before the fact. But you see how true and faithful and honest God is. He's true to his word. Isaiah 53, 9 and 12, through 12, I'm sorry. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. That's Joseph and Nicodemus. But with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. But his knowledge, my righteous servant, shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. But all that was prophetically brought to pass. And that's the thing here. We understand the condemned criminals lost their right under Roman law. A condemned criminal lost their right to a decent burial, what was considered to be a decent burial. But God had Joseph and Nicodemus, again, John 19, 38 through 42, ready to care for Christ's body. They had a tomb prepared. They had spices and aloe ready to embalm the body with. Now I want to look back at Mark 14, 64. There's a verse there. Because since the members of the Sanhedrin present condemned Jesus, in Mark 14:64, here's what 64 says. This is like Caiaphas talking before the Sanhedrin council with Jesus present, because they had just, Jesus is brought before the high priest and the Sanhedrin in this chapter. 64 says, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. In other words, they accused Christ of blasphemy. That was the only count they could try to drum up or charge him with. And yet, knowing, they said, well, he deserves death. But they couldn't pass the judgment. They had to go back and go through Pilate to get that approved, if you will, for his death. But, so since the members of Sanhedrin present condemned Jesus, and since Joseph had not consented with them, then he probably was not even at the meeting to vote. Remember, this court hearing was all illegal. Now, again, Joseph lived 20 miles from Jerusalem. Now, looking at the tomb, because I've heard over the years, they say, well, Jesus was buried in Joseph's tomb. I can't find that. It could be there, but I haven't found it yet. Again, Joseph lives 20 miles from Jerusalem, so why would he want his tomb to be at Golgotha? Because it's in the garden below Golgotha. But let me try to show you. He was not likely to choose a site so near the place of public execution. In other words, this was just the public burial grounds for those that didn't have family to take care of them, to bury them in the family cemetery, if you will. He had the tomb and the spices all ready and was on hand the moment Jesus died. He and Nicodemus had searched the scriptures. Go to John chapter 7, verse 50 through 53. These guys knew the scripture. They had studied. And, of course, Jesus has been telling them here in the New Testament, you know, he's telling them, I must go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be killed. You know, I'm going to die. And his disciples say, no, that's not going to happen. But yes, it was. 50 and 53. Says Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? They answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. And everyone went his way to his own house. So these gentlemen had studied the word, and they knew this was coming. That's why there was a grave already prepared. That's why they had the 100 pounds of spices and stuff. When everything starts falling into place, they get ready. But you look at what a service they performed and what a price they must have paid when the other council members found out what they had did. You know, they were... Joseph was probably blacklisted, you know, from the Sanhedrin, but God was preparing the whole thing. God was in control. God was in the background. And it was all to fulfill prophecy. It was all to fulfill all the way back to Genesis 3 and 15 and 16. This is fulfillment of something that's thousands of years old. But God's word is true. Luke 23 and 51 and Mark 15 and 43. I'm not going to take you there. You can write it down and look it up. It says, Joseph was waiting on the kingdom of God, which refers to God's sovereign rule over the sphere of salvation, which at present is in the hearts of his people. Let's look at Luke chapter 17, verse 21, which was Jesus speaking. 17 and 21, 20 through 21. It says, Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. And in the future, there is a literal earthly kingdom that's going to last 1,000 years. That's always you hear reference to the millennial reign. That is what Joseph was waiting on. He was waiting to see the Messiah come down, set up his throne, and rule Israel for 1,000 years of peace and tranquility. Now, let me go to a reference there. Flip over to Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. It says, And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or the image and had not received his mark in their forehead or their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. In other words, they're looking, and Joseph was in that number. He was looking for Jesus and King David for Jesus to be on David's throne again and for a 1,000-year reign. And it will come to pass after the rapture of the church. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation, and then there's going to be a 1,000-year reign when Christ sets up his throne here on earth. And that was what Joseph was looking for. He's waiting for that. He knows enough scripture. He's been taught. He wasn't a Sadducee. A Sadducee didn't even believe in a resurrection. But the Pharisee accepted a resurrection theory. But that's what he was looking for, is, if you will, the 1,000-year or the millennial reign of Christ, the kingdom age or the Messiah's reign. It's all the same. And while that reign is going on, the Gentile believer is going to be 1,000 years in heaven while Jesus is fulfilling all this prophecy. But now, I don't want to get off track. Let's go back here. Looking at Joseph, I'm finishing up. We see that Joseph was prominent and busy. He was willing to help his community and his fellow man by giving of himself. But notice, although busy, he still had his focus on God. He was waiting. He was not distracted with all of life had to offer. He was waiting on the kingdom of God to come. It's just like us. This COVID-19, you know, you listen to some people, this is the end of the world. Well, it may be leading up to it. But for the Christian believer, we still need to be waiting and watching. Watch the eastern sky, because Jesus is coming. And the rapture will take us out of here. But the world is caught up in the stock market and the economy and the price of gas, toilet paper, you know, just mundane stuff. It's stuff. That's it. The world is caught up in stuff. But the Christian believer needs to be caught up in Christ and waiting on Christ's return. Again, Joseph had all the credentials to live the good life down here. He could have been a fine, happy, well man and live out his life and die. But that wasn't who he was. He wasn't sold out to the world down here. Yet he was willing to give up social status and popularity because of his faith in Jesus Christ, because he had faith that he would see, you know, the Messiah reign. That's what he was waiting on. That's what he was looking for. Now I've got one last reference, and that's Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. And that 3 and 20 gives us, refers to Christ, the object of the believer's expectation. 20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So that's what I'm asking you. What are you waiting on? Are you waiting on the world to get better, things to turn around? Or are you focused on Jesus Christ and what eternal life is going to be someday? Are we really watching and waiting? Or are we caught up in what the world's offering? And that's my question this evening. And so I'll close with, just like I close all my Sunday school classes, I'll ask the class, I'll tell the class, if you will, just remember whose you are this week, because you belong to Jesus. And that's the way we're supposed to live our lives, as though we belong to him, not the world, but to Jesus. So I appreciate your patience, your time, and your trouble. Hope you have a wonderful afternoon, and hopefully we'll get to worship together and listen to our pastor this coming Sunday. We'll hope to hear from you then. Thank you.